together in the Lord's house. We trust for no other purpose other than to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're glad to see as many out as there is, and we're especially glad to see some of the ones that we haven't seen in a long time. Elder Wall, it's been some time since I saw him, and we're glad to see him again. And so, I'd like to say that I don't know whether I'll be able to preach much this morning or not, and it's not going to be my purpose to be before you at any length of time. For I certainly, for a great length of time, because I want to hear Brother World, and I know some of you do, and therefore we're going to try to be mindful of that, and we desire your prayers as we try to read some from God's Word and make a few comments on it. We'll read some from the same chapter that we read from last night, beginning with the 11th verse. We read to you the first verse last night, but we want to begin with the 11th verse and read on down through the 18th verse. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's reading down through the 18th verse. And if I am able to speak to you, I would like to, if I can, to kindly base my remarks on the 17th and 18th verses of this sixth chapter of Second Corinthians. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Just from a surface, you know, a lot of times people read the Bible and they miss a lot because they just kind of look on the surface. I've talked with a good many people from time to time, and one fellow that stands out in my mind, I was talking with him concerning the scripture, and he seemed to have the idea that the Bible is written to every individual in the world, that the scripture is given for the purpose of giving life to dead alien sinners. And maybe if we just read this from a standpoint of reading and maybe looking on it from the surface, we might say here that Paul here is inviting dead alien sinners to do something in order to become the children of God. But I think that if we better understand the scripture, we're going to have to go back a little ways, and find out, as we said last night, who that the Apostle Paul was addressing this letter to in the first place. The first of all, I want to quote a scripture that I quoted last night, because I don't think that you know about it, or that you haven't read it, or maybe you know more about it than I do as far as that's concerned, but I feel it right here that it might be well for us to consider this scripture. We find in Timothy's writing, or in Paul's writing to Timothy, he said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fairly furnished unto all good works. And so we find then that according to this that Paul has written to Timothy, that the scripture is written for a benefit to the children of God, those that have been born of God's Spirit. And somehow, I go back to the first part of this this book that I've read, we find that Paul is addressing this letter to the church at Corinth. As we told you last night, he was addressing this letter to the church at Corinth, those that had been born of God's Spirit, those that had that already had a hope in their heart, a hope of eternal life. He was writing to those that had already been given spiritual life, and they had the ability to hear the gospel and to understand. And as you know, I believe that we find in the first book of Corinth that many different things had come about in the church that was not exactly pleasing to God. And we find that Paul spent most of his time in writing that letter to the Corinthians, trying to instruct them in the way that they should go, in order that they might straighten out some of the things that was going on in the church. You know, a lot of times when trouble comes up in the church now, we wonder just about it, and a lot of times they say, I wonder what's going to become of the church. There's trouble in the church, and different things of that nature. But you know, brethren, there's always at times, different times, there has things arisen in the church, and that just shows that we're human beings, and while we live here in the world, and there will be things that arise in the church as far as that's concerned. And so then we find, I believe that in this chapter, maybe that most of this had kindly got straightened out in the church at Corinth. And here I believe that Paul is instructing the children at Corinth some of other things that they are to understand. You know, on one occasion, that they had come to this conclusion, they were all divided up on the preacher. Some of them said, I'm of Paul, and some said, I'm of Cephas, and others said, I'm of Apollos, and others said, I'm of Christ, and they were divided up on that. You know, the real truth of the matter is that they were more or less looking after those men, and they were more or less worshiping them instead of God. And Paul, you know, he began to tell them that these are just workers together with God. They're given to you their gifts. They're men of God. You know, one watereth, one planteth, and another watereth. But God is the one that gives the increase. But now then, we find here that he's telling them that he said, wherefore come out from among all them. I believe that here that he is trying to tell them that they're not to have fellowship. If we notice in this 14th verse, he said to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with darkness? With unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And he goes on and said, what concord is Christ with Belial, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And but he said, ye are the temple of the living God. Now then, he's telling them to come out from these things, not to indulge in these different things. And I believe that there's something else that is implied, how that will be the children of God. Our good, if we can get it across as we see it, and we want to do it in just as short a time as we can. Some people have made the remark that primitive Baptists, I believe that only a few are going to be saved, and most of them is primitive Baptists. But I'm glad to announce this morning to you in the presence of all of these others, and I believe I can do it with all sincerity and with all honesty. And I believe of this, that the doctrine that old Baptists preach, I believe that it's Bible doctrine. I believe that it'll stand, my brother, and it is a part and different from all the doctrines of the world. The doctrine in which we preach, a little while after I joined old Baptists, somebody come by one day and he said, I heard that you used to be a holiness preacher. And I said, yes, for about 25 years. He said, what made you change? I said, they didn't like the doctrine that I preached. And so they decided that they'd have conference and get rid of me. I began to tell them how that God did elect his people, and that he chose them before the foundation of the world, and that he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And how they said he's preaching a rotten doctrine. We've got to do something with him. Not long after that, one of the holiness preachers come, and he said, we want you to come back, and be one of us. I said, brother, you wouldn't have the doctrine that I preach now. Most of the doctrines in the world today is kind of putting a limit on this thing to this extent. That you have to hear the gospel, and then you have to believe it, and then you have to repent, and then you have to accept the Lord Jesus in order to become a child of God. But my brother, we find that the doctrine that old Baptists preach covers more of God's creation, I believe, than all the other doctrines combined in the world. I believe that grace, my brother, salvation by grace, includes more of the family of the earth than all of these others. If it was so that the people had to hear the gospel, then that would leave out the deaf people. That would leave out the little baby because he can't hear. In other words, he can't understand. He might be able to hear the audible voice, and it would leave out those my brother that are irresponsible. He said you have to hear it and then believe it. My brother, according to the teaching of God's word, a man don't have anything to do with his eternal salvation. Not one bit in the world, because God, my brother, is the man that made the choice. He's the one that made the choice, and man certainly don't have to make that choice, brother, because it's already made. It was made back before the world began, and when it pleases God, every one of them that he has elected, everyone that he's chosen, and he called them sometime in time. But I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but I certainly believe that there's an appointed time for God to call every one of them without effectual call. And I believe that he's not 1 minute late with it, brother. I believe that he called them sometime in life. I know that all are not called maybe at the same age. Some of them are called even before they're born. I believe some of them are born of God's Spirit even before
how that they are born in the world. You know, I've seen little children out playing, and you know, maybe all of them would be having such a wonderful time, and there'd be one in the crowd how that would look like that he was out of place, and that he didn't fit in that place somewhere. You know, I believe that that little child, no doubt, is one that has had an experience of grace. You know, and you see every mark of grace upon the child, sometime a little child like that. And I believe David said that he made me to hope while I was upon my mother's breast. And so we find that at different ages God calls his people, but he calls them when it pleases him, my brother, and not when the preacher pleases to get in to the family of God. But my brother, the man of God, the woman of God has just as much to do with coming into the family of God as you had to do with coming into the family that you was born in naturally in this world. And brother, you know that you didn't have anything to do with that. I know that the first thing that I knew, that I was in the world and that I was the son of M.D. Mathis, you know, and I didn't make a choice. I know, and I didn't have to love him in order for him to be my child, as far as that's concerned. But I loved him because I knew he was my father, and I had great respect for him because I knew that he was my father. And when a man is born of God's Spirit, I want to tell you that the first thing that he knows anything about it, he knows that something's happened to him. He may not understand it all every time, but I believe that he knows that God is working with him in some kind of a way. And the first thing he does, he starts calling upon God, not in order to be a child of God, but he calls on him because he is a child and because he's been given life in the world. My brother, you take a little baby when it's first born in the world, the first thing it does is cry. And you know, we listen for that cry when the little child is born. There's an anxiety in our heart to hear that little fellow weep when he's born in the world. My brother, and if he don't weep, we know that there's something wrong. If he don't cry out, we know that he's dead. We know that he don't have any spiritual life in him. And I want to tell you, my brother, is wrong as a man is dead in trespasses and sin. It's impossible for him to call on God because he don't have the ability to do it. He don't have the strength to do it. He don't have the desire to do it. My brother, but when God works on that end of the line, when he calls him by his Spirit and imparts life, then he begins to call on him. I bet he might have mercy on him, and the reason he does it is because he's got life. That life has been given to him. But you know, my brother, that call that I'm talking about is a sovereign call, and it comes from God. My brother, you don't have anything to do with that. But seemingly here, brother, in this gospel that I've just read to you, there's something that we can do about it. And I believe he has it addressed to the children of God. I believe that this is something that the children of God that have already been born of God's Spirit and have already been enabled to understand some of the things of God in this world. And so, you know, I believe that many of God's children are tangled up with the different orders of this world. But when they're tangled up and they're all bound up in the work system in this world, yes, they're telling them that if you do this and if you do that and if you'll continue on, then you'll be saved at the end of the way. And brother, they're just as a lot of God's people are in those places, and they're working just as hard as they can because they have a desire to live with God in heaven, and they've been told how that they've got to do these things in order to become the children of God. But my brother, listen, I want to tell you this morning that salvation is of the Lord, and it's all of God and none of you. Brother, I want to tell you that you don't have to do anything to receive the salvation of God. As far as that's concerned, eternally speaking, in this world, but here, my brother, I believe that Paul is telling us to withdraw ourselves from things that's disordered in this world, to withdraw ourselves from idols, to withdraw ourselves us from anything that is displeasing to Him. And Father God has a right to call for the separation of His children in this world from the world. And I believe that what separation involves here, Brother, is to separate ourselves from anything that is displeasing to God in this world, and then to separate ourselves unto Him in His service. For I hear Paul, as he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And he's certainly talking to the children of God there. And he said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. And now then, it's not an unreasonable thing for God to call for our separation from those things of its own God in this world, inasmuch as He has a place within our heart and in our bosom of the hope of eternal life. My brother, He has given unto us this spiritual life, and then He has a right, my brother, to call for your separation from the things of the world, and to call for your separation unto Him in this world. And so here Paul is telling you, telling the people here to come out from among that. It's not right, you know. And but I want to tell you this, that if you feel in your heart that God has blessed you, that's evidence that you're a child of God, and heaven will be your home, my brother. And don't let the false teachers of this world tell you that you've got certain things to meet, certain conditions in order to become a child of God, and then you've got to live a certain kind of a way in order to get to heaven. Brother, you know, I had one fellow not too long ago to tell me this. He claimed he was a Primitive Baptist. But brother, I don't believe that that's Primitive Baptist doctrine. I don't believe that they believe that. He said, I believe in election, all right. But I believe that it's like this, that God in His foreknowledge was able to look down through time, and He saw everyone everyone that would repent, and everyone that would accept Christ, and He elected them on those bases. But if it is like that, if that's the way God elected His people, it's still in works, and it's not of grace. But I thank God, brother, that He elected them according to His own purpose and goodwill. My brother, because He set His love upon that people, and He elected my brother those because they were His cause, not because of anything good that they had done in this world, to live with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And my brother, as I said, He calls them, and when He calls them of them, He puts a desire in their heart to become a manifest Son of God in this world by coming out from the world, brother, and uniting themselves with the body of Christ in this world, and following in the footsteps of Jesus by way of baptism, and then continuing to separate themselves from things that is wrong in this world. I don't believe here that Paul is saying separate yourself from the church. You know, there's some people say that they don't believe in belonging to a church. They think you ought to just be free to go wherever you want to, brother. I want to tell you this, the church, my brother, will free. That is, the children of God are free in this world, and the church certainly don't bind them to that effect, that they're not free in this world. But I'll tell you this, that when we know the truth and walk in the truth, and He said, if ye continue on and in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I want to say here that there's a difference, brother, in being a child of God and a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of difference in that. There's a lot of God's children that are not following the Lord just exactly like they ought to. But brother, in order to be a disciple of the Lord, then you have to walk in the way that He is laid down in this world in order to be a disciple. And you know, a lot of people say that all you've got to do to be a Christian is just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're a Christian. But there's a difference, brother, in being a Christian and a child of God. I tell you, to be a Christian is childlike. How that he is Christ-like in the world. You follow him having a childlike faith. How you walk in his ways and you are an imitator of Christ, in other words. I believe that the first time that they were ever called Christians, I was at Antioch, over there, that they saw that they were followers of the Lord, and they called them Christians. But you know, back then, brother, it was a disgrace in the eyes of the world to be a Christian. But now then, it's an honor. But I want to tell you that I believe that the world still hates this thing better when a man follows God as he ought to in the world. I believe that the world still hates him. Christ said they did. He said the world loves its own. He said you're not of the world, and it hated me before you, and it'll hate you also. So, but I want to say this. What Paul is saying here is to come out from that that is not preaching the gospel. Those that are preaching false, those that are preaching error, those that are not the things that are not right in the sight of God. Come out and touch not the unclean thing. And then he said, I will receive you. How? In a manifest way. Brother, you were his. To start off with, covenantly speaking, as far as that's concerned. But here he's saying that I will receive you and I'll be a father unto you. Manifestly, I'll be a father. I'll prove my fatherhood. I'll be with you as you go on life's journey. And he said, ye shall be my sons and daughters in a manifest way. You know, brother, God manifests himself to us in love and in fellowship. We talk about fellowship, and there's some people seem to think that the fellowship is only with one another. But did you know, I believe one of the apostles said that our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And so we do have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with His Son, and we have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light as He is in the light. And so, my brother, let us in humble obedience to Him in this world. I'm not in order to be a child of God. Don't misunderstand me, my brother. Many times I feel that people have been misunderstood when they're talking, but because ye are sons, he said, he has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And if he has done that, then let us follow the leading of the Scriptures in this world, because he said they are profitable. They are profitable. Who to the man of God. They're profitable to the man of God. They're not profitable to the world, but they're profitable to the man of God, that he might be instructed in the ways of our righteousness and how he should conduct himself in this world. While he lives in the world, it has nothing to do with where he lives in eternity, because Christ paid that debt in full, my brother, and that sacrifice was accepted of the Father, and all of the heirs of promise will live with Christ in heaven and immortal glory. But I believe that our joy in the world, brother, comes in the doing of the things that are written in the Scripture. We receive joy in the doing of it while we live here in the world. May God bless